This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Ellis Reed.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
I am still Hannah Fox.
And I'm Ellis Reed.
Been a while.
We've not done one of these for yonks, have we?
We were trying to work it out and we reckoned it's got to be getting on for a year.
Yeah, it was definitely in the first half of 2023 we did one.
Yeah. But you know, we're back.
We are back. Last time, so when we were arranging this, we sort of had this idea that maybe we could say the first Wednesday of each month or the second Wednesday of each month, like try and bagsy it up.
How did that go?
Ahead of time. Well, this is the first, wow. Yeah, we missed the first Wednesday of the month.
And for all the listeners, it's not even a Wednesday today,
it's a Friday. I think we will just do these when we feel like, when we can.
Agreed.
And if that means we put out one a year, so be it. Yeah.
Well, that make them more rare, you know.
People
really want to get hold of them. So.
Like every podcast will be a limited edition.
Exactly. No, I like that. Yeah. No, it's all good. Sorry everyone who's been waiting.
There's no one waiting. I can guarantee there is nobody left. Like, I stopped looking at the podcast stats after a while.
Even my friends have stopped listening now.
Really? Yeah, well, we've not been making them.
No, I don't think...
They're not going to be endlessly re-listening to the, like, 19 episodes we did, or however many it was.
Yeah, I think my other half listened to a couple and then gave up. And I don't think that was because, you know, it wasn't a good podcast. I think it was more listening to the sound of my voice. You know, she hears that enough, so fair enough. Yeah. It's just a lot. But, you know, we enjoy it, right?
Yeah, we enjoy doing it. Excited about this film that we're going to watch tonight. A film which I know literally nothing about, apart from I've just seen a picture of the poster, and I thought the poster looked really good. Now, this was your pick, wasn't it, Anne?
It was, and I was just saying to Alice, I saw a trailer of it, or a part of a trailer, quite a while ago, and thought it looked really good, and then kind of forgot about it. And then when we were thinking about what film to do this week, I remembered someone had also mentioned this to me and kind of put two and two together. But yeah, I think it looks interesting. And it's had from my conversation with the person who recommended it, sounds like it had some good reviews and, you know,
okay,
it's quite decent. So, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, you never know. But
we did just check. It was on Amazon. It had some like 4-point-something stars. So it was doing quite well.
It was doing all right.
Have we said what the film is yet?
We have not, no. The film is...
I think it's called Talk To Me.
Talk To Me, Talk To Me. Yeah, I doubted myself there. Yeah, it was called Talk To Me. And that's probably all we know about it, really.
We know who made it?
I'm going to say their names wrong. This is the only thing. I think they're called the, like, Philippou Brothers. I was really trying not to laugh.
The Philippou Brothers. I've not heard of them. Hang on, let me pass you your phone. There might be some creaking on the line because I'm going to move on the sofa.
Oh, the line caller.
Yeah, let's see.
I think it was. You know me though. I do make up facts that don't always end up being true. Talk To Me. It was written by Danny Philippou and directed by Danny and Michael Philippou Brothers. It's such children. Let's try again. It was written by Danny Philippou and directed by Danny Philippou and his brother Michael. That might not even be how you say it, you know. Right, I'm going to write how to say Philippou. Oh, God. Right, hang on. How to pronounce? Yeah, here we go. Oh, sorry.
Philippou.
Okay. Philippou.
Philippou.
Close enough.
Close enough, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah.
the standard of the analysis in this podcast.
The standard of the analysis and professionalism.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Wowzers.
That's brilliant. Sorry, I was laughing.
So yeah,
I was setting you off though. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, I know. I was trying to be very professional and mature. What can you do? This is what you get from you.
So I've not actually heard of them. Do we know what else they've done?
No, this is their first thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is their first thing.
And do you know anything about what it's about?
So, I didn't want to find out too much because I was quite keen, you know, to kind of watch it a bit blind. But it's about some kind of possessed, like, hand. So I think what the kind of sort of gist, I think, is that a group of students have this, like, model of this hand, and there's some story going around that it's, like, possessed or cursed or something.
Mm.
And they all kind of gather around, and the dare is to, like, hold the hand and see what happens to you. And obviously, some things happen, but that's about as much as I know.
That sounds brilliant. Mm. It sounds like a really sort of old school,
that's
urban,
what I thought.
Mythy.
Exactly, yeah. That's what attracted me to it, because, you know, a bit back to the roots.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, so, yeah, hopefully it'll be good.
Well, should we? Because, like, literally all we know about this film is...
Filippo.
The filmmaker's name.
Yeah.
And, the synopsis you just gave. So how about we go to a jingle, and while the jingle is playing, we'll watch the trailer together.
Perfect.
And then we can report back and give our initial thoughts on tonight's entertainment.
Let's go.
I thought that looked very scary.
It did look very scary.
Yeah, yeah.
A simple idea, but I've not seen something quite like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It sort of reminds you of other things, but it's that. So, yeah, essentially it was, we've just watched the trailer, and it was very much, I would say,
Australian.
What I said. It was very much Australian.
Yeah, surprisingly Australian.
Yeah, we were
that.
Like, oh, is that Australian accent detect? So, yeah. But yeah, it seemed like kind of what I was saying, group of kids doing a dare to hold this possessed hand model. Mm. And one of them obviously succeeds.
Yeah. You have to say talk to me.
Talk to me. Sorry. Yeah. You have to hold the hand and say talk to me. And then you get, I'm guessing temporarily possessed. And then when you blow the candle out, you have a lit candle, and when you blow it out, that's the end of it.
Yeah. Light the candle to open the door, blow it out to close it.
To close it, yeah. And it looks like in the story, one of the girls who has lost her mother takes it a bit too far and has maybe kept the door open.
Yeah.
Because it looks like she's taken the hand home as well.
Yeah, she's like cuddling it and stuff.
A bit obsessed with it.
It looks like a sort of, like, once she does this dare, it looks like she then begins to see things, like classic horror visions, like of ghosts crawling around and stuff. Mm. But also she starts to lose the plot a bit.
Yeah.
So it looked like the aftermath of doing this dare for her is combination. She is now being haunted by classic sort of Hollywood ghosts, but also descent into madness.
Yeah. And I'm guessing... Also, some of it is potentially possession by some spirits as well, because at one bit her eyes go black.
Yeah, that was the last scene, and then she smiles at somebody and says, I like you. In a sort
It's a very good impression. And then there are all kinds of other weird things going on, like... There was like a kangaroo with blood on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we knew it was Australian.
Yeah, we were like, well, what is that accent?
Australian.
There was a kangaroo with blood on it. There was also, like, she sees her mum.
Yeah.
But her mum kind of looks quite scary and is, like, obscured by gloom.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's not her mum.
Yeah.
Mm.
It looks pretty shit scary.
It does look scary. It looks good. I think I've got reasonably high hopes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think it'll be at least a 4-star experience.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. And actually, I can't think of that many Australian horrors I've watched.
Was there not one about like a zombie sheep or something?
I don't think we watched that though, did we?
No, we've certainly never watched an Australian horror movie.
No. So, yeah, be good to start.
Brilliant. Right. Well, I'm actually really excited about this.
Me too.
This looks like a really... moody, scary film. which is what I was after tonight.
Same.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm hopeful. I'm excited. Let's go.
Yeah, to the jingle. That was absolutely terrifying.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, there was something really quite creepy.
Incredibly creepy.
I think it's because it was so simple.
Yeah.
In some ways, like,
I'm gonna have to have a wine gun.
Yeah, no.
I need to get my blood sugar back up after that ordeal.
Do you know what? Like, we'll go into like, you know, the rest of the film and everything, but I do think there's something quite spooky about an object that has power, you know, like, I mean, it's just a hand. It's just like a, almost like, yeah, like porcelain type hand. But there's something really scary about this, this like object. Because even when nothing spooky was going on with it and they just had it in the room, yeah. I was thinking, I wouldn't have that in the room.
No, like, yeah.
It was weird. In the same way that like, in Hellraiser, they've got the box.
The box, yeah. Like, you're like, oh, I don't want to be near that. Oh,
don't want to be near that, just in case.
You might get dragged off to hell.
There's just something about that hand.
So let's briefly explain what the hand is. So you're right, they've got this porcelain hand. There's a bunch of, like, students who are having these parties where they invite people around to have a go of the hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's an interesting sort of a concept for a film. Because it's like the kind of, it's like a sort of monkey's paw style artifact, which has some supernatural effect, but it turns out it's real. So everyone wants to come around and have a go of it. And what it is there's this porcelain hand that's sculpted as if it's reaching out to shake your hand.
Yeah.
And they put it on the table, they light a candle, and what you have to do is hold the hand as if you're shaking it. And then you say, talk to me. And then a ghost appears that you can see.
Yeah.
And the reason why everyone is so keen to come to the house and have a go at this, and like, it's a social media sensation. Every time somebody's doing it, everyone's filming them and, you know, sharing the videos of what happens. You say, talk to me, and then you see a ghost, and the ghost will be all bloodied and battered, like in a way that evokes how it died or whatever. And then the next phase is you're meant to say, I let you in, and then that ghost possesses you, talks through your mouth.
Yeah.
Everyone's reacting.
Moves your body if it wants
to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everyone's like laughing at this and filming it as if someone's been hypnotized. It's got that sort of feel. It's like everyone wants to go and everyone's the center of attention and everyone's filming them getting possessed by this ghost. And then before 90 seconds, you have to blow the candle out and take the hand off them. And then it's somebody else's turn. So every time it's a new ghost, the ghost possesses you for 90 seconds. It might say something creepy. It might move around. Take control of your body. So that is what this hand does. And it's a really sort of eerie, effective.
I also quite like the way that usually in horror films, someone's being possessed or someone's seeing things, but other people aren't seeing it. It was quite unusual for the fact that it's just like, yeah, there's this thing that does weird stuff. And, we've all experienced it and it's just how it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it does work.
Yeah.
Don't believe us. Have a go.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, talk to me. Oh shit, I can actually see a ghost. Yeah. Like, that is real. It's happening.
And it's like, but it's fun at the start, isn't it? Even though, Christ, I would not find it fun.
No.
But, no. But they're enjoying it, aren't they? They think it's like novel, it's cool. And to start with,
they're such airheads, aren't they?
They're such airheads.
Because if you had to go there and it was real, you'd be like, shit, I've got to rethink everything about reality. Because ghosts are real, you can see them, you can get stuck hanging around waiting for somebody to shake your hand and you're still covered in blood from how you died. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, dude, that was amazing.
But I think it was clever that they just did it with teenagers. Because obviously not to that extent, but I remember being a teenager and we went through like a real witch phase. Where we were like, it was just like groups of us and we try and like levitate people. And you do that thing where you put your fingers underneath them and try. And obviously it works because collectively you're strong.
Well, you're lifting them up. Yeah.
But we were like, whoa. You know? And I think there is something, it was clever. I think that the writer and director sort of did it with teenagers because an adult would be like, what the hell? This is not good. This is not normal, you know. But because they're teenagers and a bit, you know, they think it's funny. I thought that was quite good. But yeah, so anyway, we sort of, that's all, you know, or whatever, but it then kind of takes a bit of a turn. And one of the girls, Mia, I think is really desperate. Her mother's died and probably committed suicide, and she mm-hmm. really wants some connection with her mum. I think she's struggling. So she keeps like trying this. I think she sort of is looking for something, isn't she? You know, she's looking for, I guess, what is the afterlife, unanswered questions, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of is really pushing for this and ends up allowing Riley, her best friend's little brother, to have a go, even though the best friend said, no, you know, he's too young and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So Riley has a go at the party with all these teenagers, you know, enjoying themselves. And this time it goes a little bit weird because Mia thinks that her mum has possessed Riley and starts talking to her.
And he calls her Me, her mum's pet name for her was, and apologises for leaving her and says, please forgive me or whatever, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And the kid who's been possessed by her, he's got like tears rolling down his face.
Yeah. It's kind of drawing her in. So what she ends up doing is keeps it going where they should only ever do this for, it's 90 minutes, isn't it?
90 seconds.
Sorry, 90 seconds, yeah. And she keeps it going and it goes past the point of sort of safety, I guess.
Yeah. They say that quite early, like you've got to pull the hand out of their hand and blow out the candle before 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Because if you let them stay too long, they say, you know, they want to stay for good. Yeah, yeah.
And this ends up with Riley essentially smashing his face up, which is gross. And like trying to pull his eye out,
which for me,
anything like that with eyes is just like, oh, no.
No, it's really hard viewing, actually.
Yeah, it was gross, that bit. So, yeah. And obviously, at this point, everyone's sort of a bit more freaked out. And obviously,
the police get involved. He's injured himself so badly.
The mother gets involved. And it's... For the benefit of the team.
I'm having a Haribo soda twist.
Good choice. Mm. And I like the rhubarb and custard ones of those, actually. It's a good one. But yeah, and so...
they're not sponsoring.
Sponsored by Haribo. Kids and grown-ups love it so. So from that point, I think... Well, I took it as they've kind of crossed the line and these spirits are now with Mia. Like... most of the time.
Yeah.
They're sort of around. They've managed to cross over the other side. And then what they're doing is sort of like, well, I think a lot of the time they're sort of tricking her and pretending that they're her mother and then getting the spirit that's pretending to be her mum is sort of making her do things and pretending her dad is like an evil spirit and all these sorts of things. So it just kind of spirals and she's sort of going on a bit of a, like, manic, murderous spree.
So that's interesting you mentioned that, actually, because it is a tiny bit unclear by the end of it how much of the plot is real and how much is these spirits basically screwing with Mia and making her believe things that aren't true.
Well, I think that the mother did commit suicide because we see the dad reading a suicide letter, and then I think... The dad doesn't actually do anything to harm her, but she sees something and thinks it's the dad.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't kill the dad. Sorry, it's not a spoiler anyway because she doesn't. But she ends up attacking the dad and trying to kill him, I think.
Yeah.
Essentially.
They sort of give her a vision of her dad attacking her and the spirit that's basically being an imposter of her dead mum is saying, that's not your dad, he's going to hurt you. And then this sort of hallucination dad comes in and attacks her.
It's just her.
Yeah, and she's struggling. Like, she thinks she's struggling with this hallucination of her dad. She's actually just struggling on the floor with nothing. And then she picks up a pair of scissors to try and stab this illusory tormentor. But by that point, her real dad has sort of got in and is trying to restrain her, and she ends up stabbing him in the neck. I guess the bit... So the bit I was less clear about, reality versus delusion... So it's established quite early on that if you have been possessed by one of these spirits and you die while it's in you, they say they have your soul forever.
Yeah.
Now, Mia believes once Riley's in the hospital after he's injured himself and he's unconscious, she thinks he's been possessed by the ghost of this old man. Mm. And a little girl shows her a vision of Riley's spirit kind of in hell, getting tormented yes. by all these evil spirits. But I think that what the imposter mom, sorry, explain this really well, but the evil spirits, yeah. one of whom was pretending to be her mom, were trying to talk her into killing Riley.
Yes.
And I think they wanted her to kill Riley so they would have his spirit forever.
Yeah.
Because that's the deal. So I don't know if he actually was possessed by an old man or if he was just in hospital recovering and they were trying to get her to kill Riley by making her think that Riley had been possessed by the ghost of an old man.
So I think at one point Riley was possessed because Riley's sister is there and Mia's not there when he's smashing his head against the wall in the shower. And yeah, doing that yeah, weird true. Thing. So he must have been possessed at some point. But I think by the end of it, it's Mia being tricked.
Yes, because yeah. she basically has decided to kill Riley. She kidnaps him from the hospital. She's pushing him around in a wheelchair. And she's going to try and, like, just roll him in front of a car.
Yeah.
God, what a film. It's quite grueling, it was wasn't
quite
it?
Quite grueling, yeah.
But, like, so Mia's looking at Riley and she's seeing this horrible old man going, you know, like, but that I don't think is real.
So much. No,
yeah, I
no.
think what's really happening is Riley is just unconscious in a wheelchair yeah. and they're making her see that so she will think she has to kill him. But I think that's just their evil.
Yeah.
I'm explaining this really poorly.
No, it's quite difficult to explain actually because there is a lot going on. And then in...
And it's interweaving. Like, there's a real story
yeah.
with some evil ghosts who try to use this hand as a way to get in and get their hooks into you and then keep you.
Mm.
But also, like, they sort of advance their plans by giving you loads of hallucinations and telling you things that aren't true.
Yeah.
So it's unpicking.
It is, yeah. Like,
I mean, basically, to sum up the plot as much as I can say it, because they mucked around with this hand too long and went past the 90 seconds thing, these evil spirits got their claws into Mia and to a lesser or greater extent Riley, the little boy, and were basically trying to keep their souls forever in hell.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly which bits were true and which yeah. bits were their deception.
Yeah, there was like quite a bit of sort of confusing bits there. And I think that was probably...
quite a few confusing bits in this podcast. Yeah. By now, I think.
But I think that was done to also confuse the audience because, you know, the character of Mia is very confused as well. So we're all confused together.
Yeah, yeah.
But the end bit. Did Jade push her in front of the car? Or did she fall? Or what happened there? Because that was what I wasn't sure about.
Yes. So to explain that, the very climactic scene... is Mia has Riley in this wheelchair. She thinks he's actually now an evil spirit. So it's heavily implied. And the imposter version of her dead mum is egging her on to throw Riley in front of the busy traffic, like roll him into the road. There's like a motorway. And then it cuts abruptly to someone or something being flung in front of a car and then the car crashes.
Yeah.
But you can't quite see what it is. And then it cuts again to show that actually it wasn't Riley getting thrown into the road. It was Mia going into the road.
Mm.
Now, I initially took it to be that like she maybe had realized that she was being tricked.
Yeah.
And had jumped.
That's
like,
what I thought.
To get
yeah.
away from the evil spirits and to prevent herself from hurting Riley, she just jumped in front of a car. But equally, because Riley's older sister was running to try and stop her, it could have been that there was like a struggle or something and Mia fell in. But actually, yeah, you don't see
you
it.
You don't really
it's
know.
Open to interpretation.
No. And I do wonder if there'll be a sequel and that will be explained in the sequel.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But I guess you just kind of... I guess it doesn't matter. The fact is that she ends up dead.
In hell. In limbo.
In limbo, I think. I don't think she's... I think she's very much in limbo because the bit that I thought was good was the very kind of end scene is her in the hospital in some confusion, not understanding what's going on. And obviously she's dead, but she doesn't quite realise that, I don't think.
No.
And she's seeing all these things going on in front of her, which is clearly the people that are still alive. And it's not in real time. It's like she's seeing Riley get better and go home and her dad get better, but it's too quick. It's all like out of time. And then in the very last scene, we see her going again up towards a hand, but this time she's the dead side of the hand, and she's holding it, the hand of this man who's kind of in a big group, like a party, playing the hand game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting.
So the porcelain hand has found a new group of.
Well, and I wondered, is it the same hand? I don't think it's the same hand because, I'd have to watch it back actually and see if it was the right or the left. Because they were like, I don't think they were in Australia because they weren't speaking Australian. Not that everyone speaks the same language in a country.
I think they were Spanish.
Yeah, I thought that Spanish or at least like South American or something. It didn't look like they were in Australia. So I'm wondering about a sequel. I've no idea. I'd have to look it up if they're planning a sequel as to whether this is a different hand. Because do you remember as well, earlier in the film, they talk about the fact of where's the other hand or something briefly. And I wondered whether this is a different hand, like the other side. But I didn't have enough about me at the time we were watching it to work out if one was left and one was right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Because one of the proposed origin stories for the hand was there used to be a medium who could connect with the dead.
Yeah.
And after he died, they embalmed his hands and put them like in these porcelain ornaments. Yeah, like, do you know what? When we explain this, it sounds very confused and garbled and far-fetched, but it was one of those great horror films that just really gets under your skin because it's got the ring of truth, because when you're watching it, it feels real.
Yeah.
I
mean, I really enjoyed it. I actually thought it was a very good film, and I was gripped.
What stars would you give it?
I would give it a 5.
I would have to give it a 5.
To be honest, I don't know what... I could be a dick and pull random things out, but I would struggle because I really enjoyed it and I thought it was very well done.
And I really shat my pants.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you noticed
that. It was creepy.
But I was like closing my eyes, watching through my fingers, and it's a long time since I've done that at a film.
It was creepy. It's like, it's left me a bit... on edge.
It also made me really sad as well.
Yeah.
Like stuff like her mum's suicide note and just the sadness of it.
Oh, the fact also that she was very much a victim the whole way through.
Yeah.
And she ends up still a victim at the end of it. Yeah. It was quite sad for her, really, you know. It was like, I feel like she should have got a bit of a better outcome. But I also like the fact that they just went with it.
Yeah.
You know, because, horror films, it's not all about the happy ending. Well, it's rarely.
So. No, yeah.
Yeah. But I thought it was really well done.
Actually, that is one thing I love about horror films. It's 50-50. Yeah, sometimes they do have a happy ending, sometimes so you're on the edge of your seat. Yeah,
so you never know.
Yeah, like she could have just won.
Yeah.
She could have won. It could have been a film like The Conjuring or even It Follows.
Yeah.
You know, That was sort of cautiously optimistic at the end.
I think this is the thing. You don't know. And, you know, that is true. I do like that. Because the heroine doesn't always win. Sometimes they don't come out on top. And she didn't.
Yeah. So the stakes are there.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're watching like a...
like a rom-com.
Or an action adventure or anything, you know, well, it will end happily.
Generally does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought it really worked. The pacing was really good.
Mm.
I wasn't like bored for a second. I didn't, you know, I was constantly in it, you know, wondering what was going to happen next. Scenes weren't overdone either. Like, I felt like they'd thought carefully about each bit that they were doing and why. There wasn't a lot of like wasting of time.
No, there was a nice little sort of, I wouldn't even say subplot, but like, the very opening scene was somebody going a bit mad and trying to kill his brother and kill himself at a party. And then it turns out that they were the previous gang who had the hand, and they actually tracked down the brother who survived that attempt. And I quite liked, you've got to have a bit like that of a horror film where you like trace the curse back to its origin.
They often do that, don't they? Yeah. There's usually a survivor.
Yeah. You know, they did it in It Follows where they found, you know, they went to speak to the guy who gave the curse to their group.
Yeah. And they, I mean, they've done it in loads of things. Even in films like Scream, you know, you've got like Sydney always somehow survives, like through all these, like, and that's not even a horror, you know, horror in the same way, but it's like, you know,
the remake of Hellraiser.
Hellraiser, yeah.
When they went go to back, the hospital and visit that woman.
They did it. Oh, what else have they done it in? They do it in a lot of films, actually. And there's usually some, like, older survivor and they go knocking on the door and go, come on, help us.
But when you talk about the pacing, it was good that didn't turn into a massive rabbit hole that the film went down.
Yeah, yeah.
They just sort of set that up in the opening, which was very shocking. And then it sort of came around again partway through the film for a brief little...
Yeah.
Yeah. I quite like that. Yeah, I'd give it 5 stars too.
I really just... I enjoyed everything about it and I thought it was very good, especially as I think it's the director's first film, first major film that they've done. I think, you know...
Yeah.
Should be very proud of themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm not surprised it's been talked about a lot because you get the feeling it wasn't big, big budget, you know. But it... I mean, they must have had a... It must have had a fair amount because it was professional. It wasn't like a low budget film, but you know,
I think they had a quid or two.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, some big Hollywood kind of blockbuster. Yeah. And I think it was just very well done.
I was really proud of myself when we thought the mum was a bit familiar.
Yeah,
and it was me who guessed that the mum was played by Eowyn out of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I was just, because I was like, I recognise her, but I couldn't have placed her. And then you were, very good at spotting that. Because I haven't watched that for a while, so I don't know if it would have come to my mind.
We watched it quite recently, actually. Did you? Yeah. I really enjoyed it, actually.
A rewatch of the three.
We should do the midweek fantasy podcast.
We might be better at that. It'll be our spin-off series.
We can barely sustain one. I know. Show.
Let's not go mad.
So, what would you predict? Sorry, if there's rustling, I'm going to go for another wine gum. What would you predict? Rotten Tomatoes gives this movie.
I think it'll have scored quite highly. I do think it will have done quite well. I don't know. 87. I'm going to go high.
Mm.
What do you think?
I had 84 in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. Trivelet.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I can think of things that somebody would complain about. Like, things that people often complain about with horrors. Characters making ridiculous decisions.
Oh, yeah. But that is a horror thing, isn't it?
Characters being unlikable.
Yeah.
But I think actually almost all horror films have unlikable characters making questionable decisions. So I wouldn't mark it down for that. But I do think there are always some critics that a film like this would go, oh, it's literally inconceivable that they would play with the hand in the first place.
And you're like, okay, well, there wouldn't be a film, would there?
Yeah.
So come on.
Like, it'd be a very short film. It'd be, should we have a go at this cursed hand?
Nah. Okay, so Tomatometer readings are...
don't forget I have a sound effect.
Right, Tomatometer.
Wowee.
Audience score, 82. So people liked it. Yeah, people liked it. And I'm glad they did, because it deserves to be liked. So if we've got any comments.
Do you reckon they will do a sequel?
Well, I'm gonna look that up next. That's gonna be my next thing to do.
Do you reckon it'll be called Talk to Me Again, but this time the 2 will be number 2?
Yeah, Talk to Me Again. Yes, of course it will. Right, who should we go with?
Let's have a splodge. Who didn't like it?
Yeah. That's kind of more interesting because there's so many tomatoes.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So one splodge from Ruben Rosario from Miami Art Zine. It works like gangbusters until it really doesn't. Still, there is something to be said for a near miss that leaves you somewhat intrigued for what the filmmakers will do next. I mean, it's not that much of a put down.
Does it work like gangbusters?
No, I was hoping you were going to go, yeah, maybe it's totally gangbusters.
That sounds like slang from the 1920s, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Does it work? It works like gangbusters.
Okay, let's try another one. Yasser Medina from Cinephilia. Sounds a bit wrong, but there we go. I'm a cinephile. A supernatural horror film that shakes hands with topics about the grief of loss and adolescent fragilities, but whose core remains trapped in a chapter of possessions and jump scares that lack any kind of chills.
Bullshit.
Don't agree. Also, stop looking too much into it. Like, yeah. Chill out. God's sake.
God, yeah.
And then...
No, that was one of the chillingest film. I think that was the chillingest film I've seen.
If
that's a word.
Yes.
Since Hereditary.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That shit me up as well.
Do you know, though, nothing has still beaten for me. The scariest thing I think I've ever seen was the Japanese version of The Ring.
I don't think anything has ever...
It didn't help that I was on my own when I watched it.
Oh, God.
At 2 in the morning. Idiot. I mean, absolute fool of a took.
Save it for the midweek fantasy podcast, Dan.
Save the good stuff.
So have we talked about this before? So I saw that in the cinema when I was at university with two other like young adult men.
Mm.
It really screwed us up. So one of us, for days after, confessed he was sleeping with the light on.
Mm.
One of us had just rented for their... student accommodation, a massive telly. And like, because of the era it was like, it was as deep as it was wide. It was a proper CRT telly.
Like a wardrobe.
He said to us, I don't even want to be in the same room as it.
No.
I was like getting scared walking across campus at night, like hurrying to get out of the dark.
Yeah.
Japanese Ring really screwed things up to me.
And I couldn't think about it at all.
Yeah,
And that night I slept with the lights on and with the telly on, but like playing some kind of stupid like comedy or something, and I was like, I just can't. But for days afterwards that stayed with me. It was just so creepy.
No, I agree.
To be fair, that was
scary. Good, because
nothing's really come close to that. But that was scary. That was eerie, and I'll think about that when I'm going home, definitely.
Should we have one more splotch?
Yeah. Right. Okay, this is from George Rivera Rubio from Kibo. The concept is cool. The performances are solid with a haunting atmosphere that keeps the tension going during crucial moments. But I couldn't connect at all.
What does that mean? That sounds like he's been on a date with it. It's like, you know, he's like, yeah, really funny,
got on,
attractive,
but there just was no chemistry.
Yeah,
but that's literally
you can't have
what
that with
said.
A film.
That's
you can't ridiculous. Say really good, well acted, good atmosphere.
That's ridiculous.
Just saw it as more of a friend.
Yeah. But you know what? God. That's I think that's like almost all of the splodges. So.
I'd quite like to hear some of the audience reviews.
Yes, that's like, we love the audience. They're always great. Okay.
Mm. It was really stylishly shot, I thought, as well.
Really, really nicely done.
Mm.
Okay, so
I should have said that when we were reviewing it. I'll throw it in there.
Throw in something about, you know, mise en scène and juxtaposition. Okay, so David didn't really like it here, and David says, overrated, not scary at all, and you could see the plot from a mile away. Sorry, David.
Well, you're not meant to see the plot from a mile.
Well, I know. I don't. I think David missed the point, really.
I don't think it's fair to say not scary at all.
Okay, this one is worse. Right. This is from Kayla. Kayla didn't enjoy it, and I'll tell you why. Movie theatre was hot, and we were sweating the whole time. Ended up leaving halfway through the movie.
Oh, God.
Kayla, don't really think that's the film's fault.
I think Kayla thought she was on TripAdvisor. I'm leaving a review for that cinema. It was shit.
Oh, that's brilliant. I don't think we can top that one.
Oh, God.
Oh, brilliant. Poor Kayla. She had a shocker of a time there. But Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything is as funny as that. But most people are loving it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Any gems in the fresh tomatoes?
Let's see. Okay, so on Andre really enjoyed it. And Andre says, chills, tears, laughs, and more tears. I couldn't stop crying. Every 5 minutes, tears were rolling down my face. This woman is a force of nature, an inspiration, a visionary. There's no way you will leave the theatre without feeling inspired and fueled to do better. I don't know if this is the same film, but it is.
The second you said laughs, I thought, I don't remember laughing at any of it. That was pretty grueling.
This is definitely not the same film. They've absolutely got this wrong. There's no way you'll leave the theatre without feeling inspired and fueled to do better in life and not take a single second we have on earth for granted. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love and motivation for all you do, Beyonce. I mean, come on, guys. Check the film you're reviewing here.
Oh, my God.
Classic.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Honestly, what is with people today?
Thank you for all of your love, Beyonce.
Oh, man.
I don't think we can beat that either.
What was like that they think was Beyonce?
Because Talk to Me could easily be the name of an R&B album as well,
yeah,
as a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that. I don't...
Do Beyonce have... Like,
the thing is, I'm not enough of a Beyonce fan to know...
Let's get a discography.
I know, let's have a look. It's Beyonce. Has she done a... Well, they said theatre, so she must have done a film,
oh,
maybe.
Oh, yeah, true.
Let's have a look at her. Oh, she's done quite a lot. Filmography. Anything that looks... Anything, you know. I don't know. Literally, there's nothing that I think, you know, it's not like it's like Talk to Beyonce or something, you know. It's that's bizarre because I can't. Tours? What could it have been, a tour? God knows. That is just bizarre. There's nothing.
Do you know, I'm going to work out in time for the next podcast. I'm going to work out how they ended up putting that review on that film.
Yeah. It is a mystery. That is bizarre. Wow. There you go. Maybe we should write to Beyonce.
Wow, that's amazing.
No, I can't work it out. We'll be here ages. Excellent.
I really enjoyed that, Han.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
It's very good to be back, yeah. I think...
See you next year.
See you next year, yeah.
The annual podcast.
What I will try and do, because we didn't have a quiz tonight, I'll try and do a funny quiz for you next time as well.
Excellent.
I used to love doing that.
So let me put that in my diary. What date are we going with? Sorry, I did hear
that. First Wednesday in March,
which
whatever that is.
And then I'll be like, oh, sorry, busy. Well, anyway, we'll work it out. I've got a car going into the garage, but, you know, we'll work it out. But, yeah, that early bit of March sounds perfect.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Sorry again.
No, not
many,
at all.
Many reasons.
Yeah. No, I think we did all right.
We did. You know, we're warming up, right?
Yeah. We're getting back into it. A bit rusty.
Yeah. But, no, good night. Really enjoyed it. Great film. Great pizza, great company.
Yeah.
What more can you want?
Let's have the theme tune.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.